And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I mentioned at the beginning of church, today is proper 29. That means it is the very last Sunday of the church year. It started way back last December with Advent and Christmas and all the things you go through, Epiphany, Easter, Pentecost, all those things proper, and then all the proper 27, 28, 29, all those things, proper 29, the end of the church year. And we did this last week and this week. The end of the church year, we read about the end of time. The end times. That's a topic a lot of people don't want to talk about, right? Now, by the way, I know there's some people who like are immersed in it. They can't read enough about it. But that's a few people. A lot of Christians will say, I like to lead my life. I want to know who's playing football this afternoon. South Carolina won yesterday. And Clemson won. Everybody's happy, right? We think about those things. There's nothing wrong with entertainment, but we say, I don't want to think about the end times, and we push it away, and yet Jesus talks about it. I hope you heard that, and I don't know if you noticed, but last week plus this week, you read together all of Mark 13. Last week, Mark 13, verses 1 to 23. This week, Mark 13, 24 to 37. That's the whole chapter. That's a chapter where Jesus says, guys, there's an end to this world, and I want to tell you about it. Now, I want to review just a tad bit. Mark 13, last week we're going to call it Mark 13, the first half. The first half, I wanted you to memorize two words. What were they? Fear not. I was not sure you guys were out there. Yeah. What are the two words?
Fear
not. And Jesus says tough times are coming, but you're supposed to what? Fear not. Is the church going to be persecuted? Yeah, but the Holy Spirit will give you words to say, right? So it's full of hardship and promise. Is the church going to be persecuted?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the gospel's going to go out, right? It always feels like we're losing, doesn't it? That's not true. People are coming to faith around the world. Is the church going to be persecuted? Yeah, but God won't let you go. I want you to know that. Your God will not let you go. So it's promises, hardship, difficulty, sure, because Jesus is going to tell us the truth. It's going to be hard. That's this life. That's right now. The saints on earth have hardship, but the promises of God, and the promises of God are that God will keep you. He will not let you fall. He will not let you stumble or be deceived, and he'll tell you what to say. You're going to get through it, and if all that's true, then the two words are fear not. Fear not. Today, one word. One word. Watch. Watch. Be on the lookout for this. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming back. I love the choir song, by the way. He is exalted. He is exalted. He is Lord. And that's going to be seen. Right now, some people aren't sure that's going to be seen, that the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted and he comes in victory for you and for me. I want to talk about that a little bit. So if you're in your bulletin, if you look at the gospel lesson this week, you'll notice verse 24 is the transition. The first 23 verses are about this era right now, the time between the ascension and the return of Jesus. Verse 24, but in those days following that distress, that's the transitional verse, following what distress? The distress he's been talking about in the first 23 verses. But in those days, following that distress, the last day comes. The last day. That's what we call it. The day of the Lord, the Bible calls it. And I want us to hear how it talks about it. The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. If you read that, here's one point I want to get out of that. You won't miss it. Right? You just won't miss that. When the stars fall from the sky, and the sky elsewhere in the Bible says the sky will be rolled up, and the Lord Jesus comes with all of his angels in glory and power and might. Is anybody going to miss that? Nope. I want us to be real clear about this. I don't know why... A lot of the cults of our era will teach our leader is the second coming of Jesus. You've heard this stuff? so-called Reverend Sun Myung-moon said he was the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I kid you not, they one time knocked on my door at my church office to witness to a pastor about Sun Myung-moon, that he was the coming of Christ. And I actually talked to them about this text. I said, well, if he's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, where is the sun being darkened and the moon not giving his light and the stars falling down from the sky? Pretty sure that wasn't the second coming of Jesus, right? By the way, Reverend Moon, so I shouldn't say Reverend, right? He took that title. Moon died in 2012, so he gets to take that up with God, right? No one's going to miss it. But here's the other thing to know. You're not going to miss it. When is it? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. And we know to say that. We've talked about the end times in previous sermons. And every time I say, when's the date? You guys always respond, we don't know. Here's the sign. Soon. That's right. But it's always soon, by the way. But yeah, let's look at this text. It's very fascinating. And Jesus says, nobody knows the date or the hour, not even the angels. But here's the shocking part. Not even the Son. Jesus is God, but Jesus takes on humanity. So in his humanity, can you imagine this? Who's coming back? The Lord Jesus. Does he know when? No. Can you imagine? At some point, the Father will say, today's the day, boy, go get him. Is that how the Father talks to the Son? I don't know. He doesn't know the day. It could be tomorrow. It could be 100 years from now. It feels to me soon. Somebody said soon. I think you're right. Soon. Every once in a while, you hear a pastor, a Christian pastor, say, if you take this chapter from Daniel and that chapter from Revelation and this verse from Mark 13, I know the date. Have you heard those things? And there's sometimes pastors will say, I've heard them name the very day. The Lord Jesus Christ will come on October 15th. 2015. How did that go? No, here we are. And then everybody will say, well, we don't know the date, but then some clever guy says, oh, no, wait, I know the other guys didn't get it, but I got the date now. Okay, try this on for size. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't know the date. Guess what that means? That means your pastor doesn't know. The president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod does not know the date. Can you imagine? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming in glory and power, but we don't know when. This is the follow-up question becomes this then. What are you supposed to do? Watch. That's exactly it. Should you be afraid? No. That's the thing I want us to get from last week. Again, Christians don't want to talk about the end times because they think it's scary. No, don't be afraid. That's last week. And watch. The Lord Jesus Christ comes in victory. That's your victory, by the way. That's your life and your salvation. You're saved already, but right now we're living in the soup. The Lord Jesus Christ comes. We should be looking to that. When? Don't know. What to do? Watch. And what does that mean, right? That's the question. What does it mean to say watch? It means a couple of things. One, it means be ready. Be ready. Jesus said it's like a man who goes away on a trip. When he comes back, let the owner of the house not find the servant sleeping. Jesus says that in several parables. A man entrusts all that he owns to his servants. He entrusts the entire farm to his servants. He entrusts the entire vineyard to his servants. By the way, he's not saying work in the sense of earn your salvation, but he's saying God has given you a purpose. God has something for you to do, and you don't have to do things that are not your purpose. Don't bear the weight of the world, but God has given you things to do. What you should be doing, doing. I've always loved Martin Luther said, if I knew for certain that the Lord Jesus were coming back tomorrow, I would plant a tree today. I love that quotation. What am I supposed to be doing today and every day? I'm living. We're supposed to be living and living to the full. Plant the tree, right? Be ready in this sense, too. I'll never forget at seminary, one of my professors one time said, in this class, there's a midterm and there's a final that each count for 50% of your grade. The final will be on the last day of class, But the midterm, I will not announce the date ahead of time. You'll come into class someday and I'll say, today's the midterm. Is that a cool way to do it? 50% of your grade, I'm not going to tell you the date. And by the way, he was teasing. Thank you, Dr. Bartelt. But anyway, he was saying, now you understand our teaching about the end times. Suppose you had that 50% of your grade hanging on tests, the date of which you don't know, what would you do? I'd be caught up, wouldn't you? I'd do the reading, wouldn't you?
Show up.
I'd show up. I wouldn't cram. That's exactly it. The Lord Jesus is coming back. Don't be afraid of it. Just be prepared. That's it. And to be prepared for Jesus is to have faith. Now, last thing is this. Fear not, watch. And watch means be ready, but it means something else. This text of Mark 13, this chapter, says, Jesus says, watch or be on guard or be alert 6 times, but he keeps using different words. And I'm going to look at the last one. Verse 37, what I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. He doesn't mean watch like look. He doesn't mean watch like be ready. He uses a different word here. It's a very specific thing. He uses the word, a word that means look forward to it. Look toward it. That's a nice word, isn't it? If we're afraid of the return of the Lord, we're missing something here. He said, I'm coming back in glory, but it's your victory. But I want to add this. It's your vindication. It's not wrong to want that. You should want it. There's a lot of injustice in the world. I want us to know that injustice is going to be set right. And our heart yearns for that, right? You will be vindicated. The cause of Christ will be vindicated. Now I'm looking forward to it. I'm anticipating it. I'm waiting for its coming. I'm hoping for its coming, right? And you know who models this for us? At this time of year, the children are modeling for you watchfulness, because they're looking toward what? Christmas. It's late November now, right? Who here can think of a child who lives in fear of Christmas? That doesn't happen, unless they're expecting coal, I don't know, right? But no, you look forward to Christmas. You're waiting for Christmas. You're anticipating Christmas. You're hoping for it. Is it a long wait or a short wait?
Yes.
Yes, right? Yes. If you're getting ready, there's not enough time. If you're a kid, it takes forever. That's exactly how it says. Has the waiting for Jesus been long or short? It's, yeah, right? Just yes. To God, 1,000 days is like one day. To us, it's been a long time. I love 2 Peter 3:4 says, people will say, where is this coming he promised? Things go on like they always have. You know, it's funny. That's actually a sign of the end when people start saying that. He's not coming. Yes, he is. But I'm looking forward to it. Right? We're looking forward to it. Don't be afraid. Look forward to it. Last book of the Bible, last chapter, Revelation. Second, the very last verse is a doxology, a blessing. This verse before that is really simple. Come, Lord Jesus. If the coming of the Lord is victory and salvation and vindication and life in heaven forever and seeing all the saints, that sounds good, right? Opening up the presents on Christmas morning, that's what it's like. So, yeah. Come on, Lord Jesus. Come. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.